Blog Talk Radio.
Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing witches and sorcerers, but before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence in our life, God. We thank you for the life and breath that you've given us, God. Father, we thank you for all of the blessings, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, and financial that you have bestowed upon us, God. Father, we thank you for you giving us a desire to seek your face, God, as well as your hand. Father, I thank you for the desire that you've given us to draw all men unto you through producing signs, miracles, and wonders as we believe and tap into that the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit that you place within us as a result of having sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins and to be beat for our physical wholeness and our health and well-being, God. Father, I thank you for how your son, Jesus Christ, is placing all enemies under his feet right now and gathering the kingdom for his rule and his reign. Now, Father, I thank you for you getting all of the glory out of this. And I thank you for someone being blessed by what they hear tonight in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're going to listen to the song of praise by Donald Lawrence, The Prayer of Jabez.
Keep your hands upon me. dare you to lose your mind for increase. Increase, increase, increase. Increase, increase. Just touch two people, say increase. Increase, touch somebody, say increase, increase, increase.
Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing witches and sorcerers. And the reason we're discussing this is, well, first of all, I typically don't like to do teachings that focus on the devil because this all started with the devil seeking attention and to be at the center of the spotlight. And the devil was an unknown quantity to mankind until Adam sinned and transferred his dominion over the whole world to him because of his disobedience. And now we're in a situation where when we are pointing out how the devil operates in the world with us today, it is important not to give any more attention to the devil than is required, because making him the focus gives him too much credibility. And the fact is, after Calvary, he was stripped of all power. Jesus Christ was given all power in heaven and earth and under the earth by his Father God Almighty. And that means that the power that the devil had in hell, the power that the devil had on earth before Calvary, was stripped from him and given to Christ. So now, the only thing that gives the devil power is the ignorance of those of us who are in the body of Christ that don't know the power that we have and don't understand that his power has been stripped. However, when we're in the world, we need to understand what we're looking at spiritually, because we are really literally in a spiritual battle with spiritual forces. And our battle is indeed with those spiritual forces. Our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. And we're going to see that later on in the scripture. But the fact is that we need to tap into the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit within us and understand what we're coming up against, so that when we talk about witches and sorcerers, we're not giving undue glory to those who are enemies of God, and to simply acknowledge the fact that, yes, there is real devil spirit power at work in the world. And yes, there is real Holy Spirit power in the world, but the difference between the two is that devil spirit power is relative and subject to Holy Spirit power, which is absolute power and is greater than devil spirit power. Remember what it says in Philippians, where it tells us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And that is so absolutely true. The power of the Holy Spirit within us is so much more powerful than any devil spirit that we're going to encounter. It's important for us to understand what the Bible says about how we are to maneuver in the world spiritually so that we don't accidentally and out of sheer ignorance do things that God clearly tells us not to do in the world, in the Word. So I'll give you an example. And the reason I'm doing this teaching is to expose a potential trap that a new believer could fall into or a seasoned believer who has not been taught could fall into. And this trap would be to consult a medium or a spiritist or a spiritualist or a fortune teller or some other witch or sorcerer operating through the power of devil spirits. And some of these people will even go as far as calling themselves, I'm a good witch, I'm a white witch, I'm a this. What they're telling you is they operate with a low-level devil spirit that is giving them information that they couldn't otherwise get to. But what we have to understand is that in the world, there is only one being that is omniscient. That means all-knowing. That is God Almighty. And he is the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But only God, the Father of Jesus Christ, knows the past, the present, and the future. And the only way to get access to that information is through the power of the Holy Spirit. So God can tell Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can tell the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can tell us. And we then can have access to information about the future. But it is not for us to be going to low-level devil spirits or even high-level spirits seeking information because we have access to actual, actionable information about the past, present, or future that we need to know when we need to know it. Now, how people who are operating devil spirits in order to pretend to know the future typically operate is there is a period where there are certain circumstances that are easy for them to ascertain or actually measurable or available to them through familiar spirits and other things where they can take things from the past or they can take things from the present and they can tap into that information because it's known and gain your confidence by telling you things that they would have no other way to know except some devil spirit told them. And they tell you often enough things that you want to hear and prepare you to receive from them whatever they say. And what happens is there's a leap. You assume that because they've been so accurate with the things about the past and they've been so accurate about things that are happening presently in your life that you assume that they have equal knowledge of the future when they have no knowledge of the future, but now you're trusting them because you're receiving words from them and they are preparing you for what is coming. And what is coming is that bad word, that word that is going to trap you because you place confidence in these low-level devil spirits. You're receiving instructions from them and doing what they say and seeking out all of these things that are just not godly. You are falling into a trap that is really there. When All you have to do is go directly before the throne of God through the power of the Holy Spirit and receive what God has for you. If you're saved, if Jesus Christ is your master and Lord, and if that's true, then what I want to do, first of all, is point out that this isn't Lester Carver saying witches and sorcerers are bad. No one needs to say that. I'm going to show you what the word says, right? But when we talk about people and individuals, look at what it says in 22:11. It says, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And that this admonition here is telling you that there are people who are, they serve the devil, you know, but they want to whitewash what they're doing. And so all of a sudden, no, I'm a white witch. I'm a good sorcerer. And I'm going to show you tonight there is no such thing. And so it's not about them. This is about people in the body of Christ being knowledgeable about things that can harm you, things that can impact your future, things that can disqualify you from living a more than abundant life. And I want to focus on what the word says about these things. I want to point out a scripture where these religious leaders were speaking to Jesus Christ and were accusing him of casting out demons through the power of the devil. And this is what Jesus Christ said to these religious leaders at the time. In John chapter 8, verses 44 to 45, it says, ye are of your father. Jesus Christ is talking to these religious leaders. He says, ye are of your father, the devil. This is after they accused him of being possessing, casting out demons through the authority of the devil. Jesus Christ tells these religious leaders, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. And see, what I want to point out here is the reason that we don't go to devil spirits and mediums and spiritists and sorcerers and witches for information is because their father is the devil, and he is the father of lies. He is a murderer, and his goal is to trap you and steal, kill, and destroy. And so if you avoid this trap, then you will not be subject to his lie that he still has power, his lie that he can do good things for you, his lie that God's plan for your life is not good. And these things we have to avoid so that we don't become victims. We don't become in that group of those who may perish, those who he may devour, right? And so what I want to do is I want to point out a couple other facts. One is, when we're talking about this is going to go into the carnal mind versus the renewed mind. Carnal mind is focused on the flesh. The renewed mind is focused on replacing what we think, what we feel, what we understand with what the Word of God says, and standing on those promises and understanding that we are always able to go directly before the throne of God and receive mercy to help in time of need. Sometimes that mercy comes in the form of information, word of knowledge about what we need to know. Sometimes it comes in the form of instruction through word of wisdom, what we need to do. Sometimes it comes in the form of discerning the spirits to tell us what devil spirit we're dealing with and whether we are to cast it out or how we are to combat these spiritually opposing forces. And when we understand that those who are not getting their information from the Holy Spirit are getting their information from a devil spirit, then we do not make the mistake of seeking out people who are operating devil spirits for information, because that would be foolish, especially when we understand that the spiritual realm is real, that devil spirit power is less than Holy Spirit power, and that we have access to absolute power, and we can go directly before the throne of God at any time. See, that's what was available as a result of God sending his son Jesus Christ to die for you and I and be dead in a stone tomb for 3 days and three nights before God raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand, gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, and then sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and I, so that then we could operate in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit and stop being victimized by the devil. And we could put the devil on the run through the power that is within us. And this is why we need to know what the Bible says about the spiritual realm. We need to understand the spiritual realm is real. We need to understand that we actually have opposing forces. So just like we get up and we pray for the devil's kingdom to be reduced and God's kingdom to be expanded, and for those souls that are trapped in no man's land coming into the kingdom of God, right? And not being oppressed any longer by the devil, right? Not being at risk of losing their soul or being at risk of making the decision to enter into the household of the devil and making the devil their father. See, we have to actively be about the business of praying, of evangelizing, of building and making disciples, disciplined followers of Jesus Christ, because the devil and his children in his realm are about the business of praying against us and making disciplined followers of the devil and pulling people out of no man's land into the household of the devil. And people are selling their souls for nothing. And we have to understand what we have, to understand that after Adam's sin, it was 4,000 years before man could enter into the presence of the throne of God Almighty as an individual. See, before then, for 4,000 years, you had to have the high priest of the children of Israel go in to the Holy of Holies and sacrifice on behalf of God's people and speak to God and atone for the sins of God's people. And that happened once a year. And only those who were anointed with the Holy Spirit upon them, it wasn't in them, it was upon them, they could do what God had empowered them to do. But that wasn't like it is today, where all who have made Jesus Christ their master and Lord have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, and we have promises and rights that go with that. So let me read these specific verses about spiritualists and mediums and all of these others that we are not to have dealings with. We are not to be dealing with witches and sorcerers and white witches and all of this other sorcerer lights. Whatever you want to call them, right? Look at this. It says, Leviticus 19:31, it says, do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Now, this is all the way in the Old Testament, right? And God is not, there's nothing vague about what God just said in Leviticus 19:31. It says, do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. See, these people are speaking from the camp and realm of the enemy. So all that they can tell you is going to steal, kill, and destroy your position relative to God. Look at what it says here in Leviticus 26. It says, I will, and this is God speaking. He says, I will set my face against anyone who turns to mediums and spiritists to prostitute themselves by following them, and I will cut them off from their people. It sounds severe, right? But that's how serious God is about this. And that's why we don't want to joke and play around with things like and horoscopes and all that other stuff. You know, I was a child during the 70s. And during the 70s, it was very popular for people to have their horoscopes around their neck and to read their horoscopes and to have like painted discs of the sun and all kinds of stuff. It was a weird time because a lot of people were on drugs. And you know, to a certain extent, it's not too much different today. But for us in the body of Christ, we need to understand what we're looking at. We need to know what we're doing. And we need not to fall into these traps because, unlike in the Old Testament, we have grace and mercy. So if you're operating out of ignorance, after tonight, you're not operating out of ignorance. After tonight, you're either obeying what God says or you're disobeying what God says. And obeying God always brings with it a blessing. It brings freedom. It brings knowledge. It brings confidence because you know why you're doing what you're doing and how to do it. And you know it's pleasing God. It's serving God. It's trusting God. It's obeying God. And that there's a blessing that comes with that. See, the confidence is in knowing that what you're doing for your Heavenly Father, and that your Heavenly Father has promised to reward you. And that Jesus Christ, when he returns, is returning with your reward for your faithfulness. For you seeking out what God says he needs from you so that you can please him, serve him, trust him, obey him, and keep it that simple, right? And when you do this, you will be living a more than abundant life mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially, but first, spiritually. See, nothing else is available to you unless you're saved. The way that you get saved is by looking at what it says in Acts 2:38 and 39 and repenting, that means turning away from serving sin, being water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, right? Then doing what it says in Romans 10:8-13, where it says calling out on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says you're to believe in your heart that God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead. It says that you're to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord. And then doing what it says in Acts 19:1-7, where it explains and it shows how when people who had believed, who had been baptized, who had the Holy Spirit within them, after the apostles laid the hands on them, they spoke with tongues and they prophesied. They believed, speak in tongues, and prophesy. And so you should be looking to come into a fullness of a spiritual relationship with God Almighty, because this spiritual relationship is what's going to continue into eternity. This flesh and blood and bones, this is not going into eternity. This is just to get our soul to the point where when Jesus Christ returns, we can be raised from the dead, we can meet him in the air, and we can go into eternity with the rewards that we have earned for obeying our Heavenly Father by doing what his son Jesus Christ said to do. So when we read the scripture and we look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you look at all of the letters in red, if you have a red letter edition, those are the words that Jesus Christ spoke, and we need to start there. We need to focus there. Look at what it says here, and I'm still in the Old Testament here in Isaiah 8, 19. And you know, what's fascinating about this is that one of the reasons why people would consult mediums and spiritists back then was because they did not have ready access to spiritual information by people with the Holy Spirit, because oftentimes it was an individual prophet or a judge or a king or some other individual who God was working through, that God had the Spirit upon them, right? Today, the Holy Spirit is literally in and a part of all who make Jesus Christ their master and Lord. So look at what it says here in Isaiah 8, 19. It says, when someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? This is God's question. Why consult the dead on behalf of the living, right? Oftentimes, people are trying to speak with people who have passed away and are no longer on the earth, not understanding that these people are dead and that there is no conscience in death. There is no remembrance in death. Those of us who are dead in Christ, the next thing that we know is that Jesus Christ is going to return and we're going to be raised from the dead. Those of us who are not in Christ, the next thing they know is that they're going to be raised and judged and die again. And so it's important for us to understand this whole idea of the relationship between the dead and the living, because the dead are dead. But those who don't know the word believe the dead are alive, and really they're just speaking with devil spirits. And oftentimes, not understanding that there is such a thing as a familiar spirit who is familiar with the life of someone who has passed away, and so familiar with their life that they can in detail tell you all about this person because they're familiar with the individual who has passed on. But in order to trap and deceive you, they need to win your confidence, and they can literally channel everything from their voice to their habits to what they thought and what they would say and their speech patterns, all these things, right? But it's a form of deception in order to trap you and convince you that somehow the devil has knowledge of the future, which he does not. Because only God has knowledge of the future. It's what makes him God. God is all powerful. God is all knowing. God is present everywhere. He is the only entity in all of the universe with these three attributes, right? Look at what it says here, and God is unchanging. Look at what it says in 2 Kings 21:6. It says, he sacrificed his own son in the fire, practiced divination, saw omens, and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, arousing his anger. And this is describing a king. A bad king, an evil king. And it's interesting because of the many kings that Israel and Judah had, they had a very small percentage of righteous kings. Most of these kings fell into this category of just evil. They sacrificed their children in the fire. They practiced divination. They saw omens. They consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, arousing his anger. You know, here in the United States, we literally had a president who had a wife he used to seek out mediums and spiritists for guidance. And you better believe that affected the country, because what was coming to her was coming to the president, right? Understanding that we live in a spiritual realm. We are being impacted by forces that are other than flesh and blood, right? Look at what it says here in 2 Chronicles 33:6. It says he sacrificed his children in the fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, practiced divination and witchcraft, saw omens and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, arousing his anger, right? And see, this is the thing. Our desire is to serve God, to please God, to trust God, and to obey God. So when God tells us, do not consult mediums and spiritists, that's one of the ways we obey God, right? But one of the ways that we trust God is when we need to know something, we pray to God for knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And God gives us the knowledge and wisdom and understanding that we need, that we could only get from him. It's not a trap. It is fully empowering us to do whatever God has given us to do. And because we are children of the Most High, we have access to that kind of favor. We need to walk in that kind of favor so that we don't get trapped by the devil. And how you get trapped by the devil is by playing around with things that you just don't understand. And when you understand that these things are traps, right? Ouija boards and all of these other chants. You put bones in the bag and throw the bones on the floor and you interpret on tea leaves and all this nonsense, right? Well, those things mean something to people who don't have the power of the Holy Spirit within them. Those of us with the power of the Holy Spirit within us need to understand that what you have access to is the ability to speak in tongues. The ability to speak in tongues and interpret those tongues through the power of the Holy Spirit, the ability to bring forth words of prophecy. These are words of edification and exhortation and comfort through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the ability to receive words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. We have the ability to perform supernatural acts of faith, the ability to perform miracles, and the ability to perform acts of healing. And when we understand that God gets much glory out of us when we use the power that we have access to, and see, when you understand that walking with God is walking in the spiritual realm, then you're not afraid to tap into that power. And when God opens a door or an opportunity for you to perform a sign, miracle, or a wonder, you walk into that. And this is one of the things I want to point out, because we're going to get to this a little later, is there's a difference between the power of the devil and the power of God. And I think I pointed out earlier when I was summarizing what I was going to talk about tonight, how the devil's spirit power is limited. It's relative power. It is less than Holy Spirit power. And I want to discuss that in a little more detail when we talk about Moses, when he went up against Pharaoh and Pharaoh's magicians, and basically God had Moses have Aaron throw his staff on the ground and it turned into a serpent, and then Moses picked it up and it turned back into a staff, and the staff represented Moses' authority. And then Pharaoh said, oh, that's a parlor trick, and he called his magicians in, and his magicians came in and they all threw their staffs on the ground and they turned into snakes too. And so all of a sudden you say, oh my goodness, these jokers have spiritual power too. And I'm sure that surprised Moses, because Moses didn't know that Pharaoh was going to be able to have his magicians do that. But then you see God intervene in the situation. And what God does is he has Moses' staff that had become a snake when he threw it on the ground swallow up and consume the snakes of the magicians. And when you understand that relative power is less than the power of God, and when you operate the power of God, what happens is what happened with Moses and those magicians. There are snakes, multiple snakes were consumed by his one snake, and when he pulled it up and it became a staff, he literally was taking their authority from them, because those magicians went away without a staff. They went away without their authority. They were stripped of their power because it was less than. It's the same way now with the Holy Spirit, and that's what you need to know. Otherwise, what's going to happen, and what happens, is when people in the world without the Holy Spirit confront devil spirit power, they're in absolute fear and awe because they don't have access to anything greater. And they don't even have access to that power. They have no power at all. They're just empty, right? No devil spirit, no Holy Spirit, just empty. And I would be afraid too. You should be afraid. But if you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you, oh no, that's not how it works. When you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you, then what happens is the devil has to flee in the name of Jesus Christ. And they are subject to what we say. They are subject to what we do. They must yield to the power of God, because when we're there, it's more than, it's greater than, it's absolute power dealing with relative power. Look at what it says in Isaiah 8, 19 to 20. It says, when someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, do not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. And see, this is the truth, because so many want to have it both ways and tell you that nothing really matters and we live in this time of grace and that God's love is unconditional. And you know, I did a teaching on this not too long ago. Unconditional love, is not something that you should go seeking. Unconditional love is what God bestows on the whole world every day, when it says that his sun rises and shines on all sinners and believers alike. It says that when it rains on all, the wicked and the righteous. And God's hand provides provision to all. And that's unconditional love. Conditional love is when you do what Jesus Christ said, making you his friend, and then making God love you, and then making God, Jesus Christ, manifest himself to you, and then you receiving the blessings that it talks about in Matthew chapter 5, right? And when you are in that position, you're blessed. But that's conditional love. You know what's conditional about that? It requires you to do exactly what God said. So here in Isaiah 8:20, it says, consult God's instruction and the testimony of God's warning, right? And if you don't say what God says and you tell people, yeah, go on to the palm reader and to the tea leaf reader and to the bone shaker and consult the medium and the spiritist and those who are murmuring or the whispering and muttering over and over and over and chanting and all that nonsense, right? Understanding they do not have knowledge to information about the future. It's a trap. It's a con. It's a scam. And if you fall into that, then you are going to be trapped. You will be trapped. And if you tell people anything other than what it says here, right here in the world, in the word, it said, why consult the dead on behalf of the living, right? consult God's instruction, because the dead are dead. If you are speaking to someone, you're speaking to a devil spirit. And that's what you need to know. And for me to go into all the things that these crazy people do would not bless you. It would not hurt you, help you. It would not strengthen you. But for me to warn you the way that the Word of God warns you and shows you, this is not something for you to be playing around with. As a matter of fact, you need to be prepared to come against it when you are confronted by someone with a devil spirit in them, and God will tell you what to do through word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits, and tell you whether or not you are to cast out that devil spirit or how you are to contend with these spiritual forces that are less than the power of the Holy Spirit within you. Because it's God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit within you, which is the hope of glory. And when you operate in that power, you're getting God great glory. But you have to operate out of knowledge. Otherwise, you're going to be afraid. And what happens is comes from ignorance and an underdeveloped love walk. So when you understand that God requires you to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength first. God requires you to love yourself so that you can then love others. That's what God requires you to do. And all of the things that God requires you to do are wrapped up in loving him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving yourself, and loving others. And when you do this, it says perfect love casts out fear. So we can operate in the power of the knowledge of God's word, and the perfect love that is being shared with you is that I hope that I'm teaching faithful men and women who are able to teach others also, so that they don't fall into this trap of consulting mediums and spiritists. Look at what it says in 2 Kings 23:24. And one other thing I want to point out is God doesn't just say this once. He says it over and over and over and over so that you understand this is important to him. It says in 2 Kings 23:24, furthermore, Josiah got rid of the mediums and spiritists, the household gods, the idols, and all the other detestable things seen in Judah and Jerusalem. This he did to fulfill the requirements of the law written in the book of Hilkiah, that Hilkiah the priest had discovered in the temple of the Lord. And so, once again, those righteous leaders, they obey God and they get rid of the mediums and the spiritists and the household gods. Look at this. Ecclesiastes 9:5. It says, for the living know not. It says, for the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. I want to stop right there and read that again. Ecclesiastes 9:5. For the living know that they will die. There's knowledge. There's consciousness, right? But the dead know nothing. That's what the Word of God says. They have no further reward, and even their name is forgotten. So why would you consult the dead on behalf of the living if the dead know nothing, right? What you're doing is you're consulting a devil spirit. This is why you're not to consult mediums and spirits. Look at what it says in Leviticus 20:27. A man or woman who is a medium or spiritist among you must be put to death. You are to stone them. Their blood will be on their own heads. And this is showing you how real God was in dealing with this enemy of his, right? Those who bring forth words from the devil, the father of lies, in order to harm God's people must be put to death. This is the Old Testament law. And for us, we are just not to go to them. We're not to fall into that trap. You know, they're going to be handled. And it's interesting because when we are in that place of God's favor, we don't have to allow ourselves to be affected by those who would strip us of all of God's blessings, strip us of God's more than abundant life that he has planned for us, and take away our physical wholeness by introducing doubt, worry, and fear. Take away our spiritual wholeness by introducing doubt, worry, and fear. Take away our mental wholeness by introducing doubt, worry, and fear. Take away our emotional wholeness by introducing doubt, worry, and fear. Take away our financial wholeness by introducing doubt, worry, and fear. See, who you go to for information is going to affect your life. It's going to affect what you are producing in your life. So if you're going to God's word, if you're going to anointed prophets of God and apostles and evangelists and pastors and teachers to receive God's word and guidance, then you're going to be producing fruit of the Spirit in your life, and you're going to see more love, more joy, more peace, more gentleness, more meekness, more kindness, more patience, more faithfulness, and more self-control in your life, and you're going to be fruitful as God desires for you to be fruitful. I'm going to read another example here that is really key, is really interesting, because it speaks of one of the prime Old Testament examples of someone who sought devil spirit information because he no longer had access to the prophet and information from God. This was King Saul, first king of children of Israel. And what it says in 1 Samuel 28:8, it says, so Saul disguised himself. The reason he disguised himself is because when he was obeying God, he had decreed a law casting out all the spiritists and mediums. And now that he had lost his anointing, he is now seeking information, and the prophet was not available. He's dead, I believe. And so now he disguises himself, putting on other clothes than a king would wear. And at night, he and two men went to the woman. Consult the spirit for me, he said, and bring up for me the one that I name, right? And he is literally going to a spiritist, to a medium, to bring up the spirit of a dead man of God, a dead prophet, Samuel. And it's amazing. But that's how extreme his situation got. And when people don't have access to God's power, to word of knowledge, to word of wisdom, to discerning of spirits, then this is what they turn to. Look at what it says in 1 Samuel 28:13-14. It says, the king said to her, don't be afraid. What do you see? And the reason he was telling her not to be afraid was because he had decreed that these spiritists and mediums would be killed when he was obeying God. But now that he can't get information from the prophet, he's coming to this very woman who he would otherwise have put to death. The woman said, I see a ghostly figure coming up out of the earth. What does he look like? He asked. An old man wearing a robe is coming up, she said. Then Saul knew it was Samuel, and he bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground, right? Now, here's what is important about this. Saul believed what he wanted to believe. He saw what he wanted to see, and the devil spirit knew that Saul would be convinced that this was Samuel, that this medium had summoned up, right? Samuel's dead. The dead cannot help the living. And Saul believed that this was real and bowed himself down. Well, you know how you know that who was speaking was not God, but was a devil spirit? Is whenever angels, messengers of God, were sent to mankind. And the men bowed themselves down and prostrated themselves before them. They would say, get up, I'm just a servant, a servant of the Most High. I'm just here to tell you, right? And there were only two occasions where that didn't happen. One was when Moses was at the burning bush, and with Moses at the burning bush, it was God Almighty, and he's like, take off your sandals, for the place where you stand is holy ground, and stay prostrated. Stay bowed down, right? Then you had the situation with goodness gracious. Another situation where at the Jordan, the people of God were going to go over, and the captain of the Lord's host came and presented himself to the man of God, and man of God bowed down and he said, take your shoes off. The place where you stand is holy ground, right? And these two times when the captain of the Lord's host showed up, which I believe was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, and then the other situation where God Almighty showed up with Moses in the burning bush, these two instances, these two instances are where, and that's what it was with Joshua. Joshua, before the children of Israel went across the Jordan, he met the captain of the Lord's host, and he bowed himself down, and he's like, who are you, with us or are you for us? Are you for us or are you against us? And the captain of the Lord's host said, neither. He's like, I'm here to tell you what's going on, right? But here, it's interesting because this whole situation with Saul, King Saul, seeking out these spiritist mediums, he knows he's disobeying God because he's the one who decreed cast them all out of the kingdom, because they were against God's purposes, right? And now he is seeking them out. Look at what it says in 1 Chronicles 10:13-14. It says, Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord and even consulted a medium for guidance. See, this is among the indictment against Saul. And did not inquire of the Lord. So the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse. See, there were real consequences for Saul's disobedience, but among his unfaithfulness, among his transgressions, it said Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord and even consulted a medium for guidance. We're not to consult mediums for guidance. Look at what it says. And did not inquire of the Lord. All we have to do is ask, right? And it said, so the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. And we all know about David's heart and about David's kingdom and about David's rule. Look at what it says in Deuteronomy 18:9-12. It says, when you enter the land of the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of these same detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. And see, God is very specific. He's not pulling punches. He's not being vague or general. He's being very specific. And I'm going to read it again so that you can get it and it can sink in. It says, when you enter the land the Lord your God has given you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there, the Canaanites. God had given his people the land of the Canaanites. It said, let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of these same detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. And, you know, these people sometimes, they seem so nice, and they seem so kind, and they seem so powerful, especially the ones that say, oh, I'm just a white witch. I said, no, I know who you are. I know who you are. Look what it says in Acts 16:16-19. It says, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High who are telling you the way to be saved. See, it sounds good, right? She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the spirit left her. When our owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace, the authorities. Now, this is something I really want to point out to you, because this is very important. It goes to the heart of this whole thing, really. When we talk about spiritual acts, right, signs, miracles, and wonders, one of the ways that we tell the difference between a true sign, miracle, or wonder, or a lying sign, miracle, or wonder is who gets the glory, right? Well, another indicator is the motive. And this money motive right here is a very real reason why people who practice what they call the dark arts are doing what they're doing to get paid. And if you are operating spiritual power to get paid, I promise you that you are serving the devil and the purposes of the devil. And look at what it says here in Acts 16:16-19. It says, once we were going to the place of prayer, so they're going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit, and we're going to say it's a devil spirit, a female slave who had a devil spirit by which she predicted the future, right? Well, she earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. See, that is a business. That is an industry. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. So she would probably call herself a white witch because, hey, this is just, I'm meeting a need. I'm offering a service because people who are not saved don't have access to spiritual information. So they come to the devil spirit for spiritual information. And you can rest assured it's a trap. But verse 18 says, she kept this up many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed. The apostle Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, he's not speaking to the woman. He's speaking to the spirit. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the spirit left her. When our owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. So they drug Paul and Silas into court because he affected their livelihood. See, they were making money with this slave who was possessed by a devil spirit and who was fortune-telling and predicting the future. And then when Paul cast the spirit out of her, then she was no longer able to tell fortunes and predict the future. And this is what you need to understand. This money motive, it is at the core of much of this evil. It really is. And so look at what this says. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 23 to 26 says, "Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out." So he's in the synagogue and he cries out, possessed guy, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus Christ said, "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly, "come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. See, this guy was possessed, and where was he? He was in the synagogue. He was where Jesus Christ was, in the holy place. And now he's saying, "Oh, what do you want, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus Christ rebuked that spirit and said, "Come out of him." And then the impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. We've seen things like this in the movies, and that's what it was in real life. Look what it says in Revelation 12, 7 and 9. It says, "Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him." And what we have to understand is that it was one-third of the angels who were cast out with the devil. And he leads the whole world astray. So how he does that is by disseminating information that leads people astray into traps, into despair, into loneliness, into hopelessness, into sickness, into death, into disease, into all of these things. And you have to understand that God does not want that for you. So how you avoid that is by obeying God, by doing what God says. Look what it says here in 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." See, that is so important to understand, that those who are called by God's name, when we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, see, not just his hand. See, God's hand is his provision. That's his, what is it, his unconditional love, his provision he makes available to all in the earth, right? But his face is relationship. Is him looking at you and you looking at him. That's that love that comes from you obeying God when you humble yourself and you pray and you seek God's face and you turn from your wicked ways. When you turn from your wicked ways, that's called repenting. Repenting is if you were heading east, now you're heading west. If you were going south, now you're going north. You're going toward God instead of away from God, with your back to God, with your face in the sun, right? Look at what it says here in Psalm 119:105. It says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." See, it's the word of God that tells us what to do and what not to do so that we do not fall into the trap of disobedience. Now, I'm going to try to make this shift so that you can see the difference in how this directly applies to us. Because this really is the difference between the carnal mind versus the renewed mind. And when it talks about the carnal mind, in Romans 8, 6 to 8, it says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And what God is trying to tell you is that it is this spirit of lawlessness, of iniquity, that causes people to believe they can do whatever they want to do. When God clearly tells you, do not consult spiritists and mediums and spiritualists and tea leaf readers and palm readers and all the rest of that nonsense. Do not, because it is a trap. And because you can go directly to the throne of God. Why consult the dead on behalf of the living when you can go directly to the throne of God who actually knows what you need to know and get real answers, right? It says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And we understand that the mandate to us is to serve God, to please God, to trust God, to obey God. And if you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. That's what it says here in Romans 8:8. Look at what it says in Galatians 6:8. It says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting. So if what you want is life everlasting, more than abundant life, then you are going to sow to your flesh. You are going to speak in tongues. You're going to pray. You're going to fast. You're going to fellowship with like-minded believers. You're going to do what it says in Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7. You're not going to do what God tells us in multiple verses we read tonight. You're not going to seek out mediums and spiritists and palm readers and all the rest of that nonsense. Look what it says in James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Wow. Could it be any clearer, right? You have a choice. And you cannot just do whatever you want to do and call yourself a friend of God. Look at what it says in Proverbs 14:12. It says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's Proverbs 14:12, right? What it says in Philippians 3:18 and 19. It says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. See, look at this. Remember what I was telling you about that money motive, right? If your God is your belly, your concern is your comfort, and your well-being and your bank account, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? It said, many walk this way as enemies of the cross of Christ, and their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame, and they mind earthly things. Their attention in their focus is on things of this world. Look at what it says in 1 Timothy 5:6. It says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Now, without a whole lot of context here, it's fascinating because this is specifically speaking about a female. And it says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth, right? Think of how many people seek out nothing but comfort and pleasure. And yet this verse says that if you live in pleasure, you're dead while you are alive. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy 2:4. It says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's what it says about soldiers. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy 2:22. It says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, right? Now, this is really powerful. Look at 2 Timothy 3:2-7. It says, For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead away captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. See, there are those who are assigned to pull away people who cannot tell the difference between false Christianity and real Christianity. And false Christianity, what it looks like is when you please people instead of pleasing God, when you serve money instead of serving God, when you lean to your own understanding instead of trusting God, and when you operate out of your own limited strength, talents, and abilities instead of obeying God and operate out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. And so when you're in this place of the false Christianity and you are operating out of pleasing people and serving money and leaning to your own understanding and operating out of your own limited strengths, talents, and abilities, that's what it means with when it says having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, right? The power that we operate in is the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit that allows us to please God instead of trying to please people. It allows us to serve God instead of being bound to serving money. It allows us to trust God instead of leaning to our own understanding. It allows us to obey God and operate out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit instead of relying on our own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. So look at what it says as a result. In 1 Peter 2:11, it says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Now, I want to go back to this last verse and the previous verse in 2 Timothy 3, verse 7, where it says, "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Have you ever seen somebody who's been in church all their life, and yet their life has gone nowhere? They are the same as they were the first day that they stepped into the church, right? Well, that means the word is not taking root, or the word is not being taught, and people are simply going through the motions of being in the right place at the right time and doing and saying the right things and pleasing people and not developing a relationship with their Heavenly Father. And that's what God wants with you. He wants a relationship with you. But this carnal mind has to be pushed away. Look at what it says in Philippians 2:5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," right? This mind that was in Christ Jesus was the renewed mind instead of the carnal mind of the flesh. Look at what it says in Romans 12:1 and 2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." See, God is... And God is calling on you to not be conformed to this world. The previous verse says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And then he says, "Be not conformed to this world." Don't be circumstance conditioned, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Replace what you see, what you hear, what you feel, what you believe with what the word of God says, so that you can be transformed. That's what it means to renew your mind, so that you can prove, you can test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, when the water freezes and you think you might be able to walk on a body of water like a lake or something like that, or a pond, and you start out and you test it, you just go out when it seems like it's thick enough and you want to make sure it doesn't start to crack before you try to skate on it. That's what God is telling us to do with this word. Prove it. Test it. See that it is good. See that it is acceptable. See that it is perfect. The will of God is the word of God, and it is able to support you. And see, our confidence is supposed to be in that. Our confidence is supposed to remain in that truth. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight, God. I thank you for your goodness and your graciousness in our life, God. I thank you for you placing us in a place of favor with you so that we can go directly to you to receive knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. I thank you for all this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And as always, from Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver, be ye transformed.
We're living in a time where everybody is struggling for their lives. Distressed, the depressed. But with the power invested in me, I came to speak life over you. I speak blessings of health, blessings of peace. To my brothers and sisters all around the world, especially those in South Africa, struggling with AIDS, in Brazil, the States.
I speak life, you're gonna live, oh my brother, my sister. I speak life, you are the head and not the tail, you will prevail. I speak life, don't give up.
Lose another person to a senseless death, substance abuse, gang violence, suicide because of low self-esteem. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Speak life over yourself and those you love.
Help me.